welcome you to this moment in service where we can hear God's word for us. Thank you so much. We are going to continue now through our Hebrews sermon series, and it is kind of interesting that this particular passage is the one that we're talking about. When we're talking about small groups and discipling and growing in our faith, this particular passage is from Hebrews 5 into Hebrews 6 and talks exactly of these things. So let me just get right into it. We'll just begin to read the scripture and then I'll pray. If you have your Bibles with you, we're going to begin in Hebrews 5, verse 11. And then read through Hebrews 6. If you're watching online, same thing. Grab your Bible, read along with me. Here we go. Hebrews 5. We have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, but solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting, we will do so. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the word of God and the powers of the coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss they are crucifying the Son of God all over again and subjecting him to public disgrace. Land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed, receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Even though we speak like this, dear friends, we are confident of better things in your case, things that accompany salvation. God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. Men swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. But because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope offered to us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where Jesus, who went before us, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, that you have your word for us, O God, and that you call us to continue to grow and seek and become everything that you have for us. So God, we thank you, Lord, for this word and this moment in time for us to soften our hearts and to be receptive, O God, to hear what you have for us today, O God. Just be with us as we listen, O God. And for me, O God, I pray, Lord, that you hide me behind the cross, that everything that I share, O God, will be filled with your truth and your truth only, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I don't know if anybody has been old enough, and some of you have not even graduated high school yet, but if you have and you've had any opportunity to go back to a high school reunion, there's a fascinating thing that happens as you go back and you kind of visit with people that you graduated high school with. And more so as the years go by. So maybe you have a fifth year or a 10th year reunion, and everything's kind of the same. There's people that maybe have graduated college and just beginning their work careers or just starting jobs or doing anything like that. Maybe they're working on furthering their education, and so things don't change that often. But then if you begin to go back to a high school reunion and maybe your 30-year reunion or your 35th or your 40th reunion, sometimes there are people that you meet that are exactly the same as when you graduated high school. Okay? Like, if you've been to one of those, are you thinking about any of those guys? Maybe the guy that was the football star is still, that's all, he's never moved beyond being the football star in high school and acts exactly the same way as he did in high school. And you say, oh my goodness, this man has never grown, has never moved beyond high school, is still kind of holding to the glory days. There was somebody that Tom actually, my husband Tom, had grown up in high school with, and and we had swung by his place of employment to visit, and Tom walked out after having visited with him, and he said, I wish I'd never gone in, because the experience was such that he wished he could have remembered him before, that some things, life had been hard for this individual. Or maybe when you have little kids, you bring them to the doctor, and there's all of these little milestones that they're supposed to achieve by certain times. Roll over by hand, walk by this particular time. Are they drinking, moving on to regular milk? Are they moving on to food? Are they able to say small words? All of these little milestones that we keep track of to make sure that somebody's developmental process is going the way that it's supposed to. When people don't develop like they should, whether it's at your high school reunion or small children, you can see it. You see the signs of arrested development. Things aren't quite going the way that they should. And in the same way, we can experience arrested development in our spiritual journeys. Amen? It too has warning signs, things that we should be aware of along the way. So I wanted to share with you some of the warning signs that we can pull out of this passage in Hebrews that talks about our spiritual development and whether or not we are becoming fully mature Christians. Never that we fully achieve it, but that moving on from being infants or newborn in the faith to being more mature in the faith and seeing our lives duplicate through others. Well, the first warning sign is from chapter 5, verse 11, and that's ears that don't hear the word. In verse 11, it says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to explain because you are slow to learn. It doesn't mean that they've not heard the truth. It doesn't mean that they've not received the truth, but they're not hearing it. Sometimes what happens, and Tom can attest to me, I can sit in the same room and the TV is going on and the news is telling me exactly what's on, and I can be sitting there with my face directed towards the TV. And Tom will say, oh, he'll make a comment about something that was on the news, and I'll say, what? Because my ears might hear the noise, but they're not actually perceiving what's being said. I'm either talking in my head, or I'm reading something, or I'm thinking about something else. And so even though the information is being shared, it's not being absorbed. I tell Libby, when we're doing homeschooling, we'll sit at the table together, and she'll be working on her things, and I'll be working on my things. And if I'm working and writing and reading and doing that kind of thing, she'll start talking to me, and then I'll say to her, what? The same way. So I've given her this clue, right, Lib? Make sure I'm looking at you. So when I'm looking at somebody, you know that I'm listening to you. I can hear what you're saying. I'm focused and I'm paying attention, right? The word tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus, right? Why? Because we become distracted. It's the fixing of our eyes, the ability to focus on what we're looking toward that allows us to receive and to hear. In the same way, you know, we can have beautiful habits of reading the Bible, right? If I were to ask everybody here, do you ever read the Bible? Most people in this room would probably say yes. Maybe if you're listening online, yes, I've read the Bible before. I've come across a passage or two. Have you ever spent time reading the Bible and then said to yourself, what did I just read? And then you have to go back over again and read. Why? Because we're reading, but our minds are not engaged. We're actually not absorbing what we're reading. So reading the Bible, when it talks about not hearing the word, reading the Bible is not a checkbox on your to-do list, right? So oftentimes we'll say, you know, I'm in a reading plan and I have to do my Bible reading. And so we get caught up in the to-doing of the Bible reading, but we're not necessarily hearing the words that we're reading or receiving them as we're reading them. We're checking the box, we're doing what we're supposed to do, but something is hindering us from actually receiving. Reading the Bible is a moment where you can hear from God and to be able to listen to God. I have been counseling some young women that are not part of this church. They've asked me for spiritual direction, so I meet with them for coffee and we have a discussion. So we pray together, and one of the things that I have shared with these two young ladies, the same exact thing. They were like, what are my first steps? This is what I asked them to do. Just take the Gospel of Mark. All right, the Gospel of Mark is one of the shortest Gospels, and it's probably the most accessible gospel. So if you're talking to somebody and they're like, you know, maybe you lead somebody to Christ, what is one of the first things they can do? Well, one of the first things they can do is just get a hold of the Gospel of Mark, right? If you're going to tell somebody to read the Bible, you're not going to say, hang tight, let's just start in Genesis and start reading all of that, because by the time they get halfway through, most of the time they're giving up because it's too difficult to understand all of this. And so we begin in places that talk that are accessible. So we say the Gospel of Mark. But what I told these two ladies to do is just read it and let it wash over you. He said, don't read it like a to-do list. If one day you read one verse and one day you read 20, so be it. If the one day where this one verse is just engaging with you and it washes over you and it speaks to you, then hang tight. It's not a to-do list. It's an engagement. It's an opportunity to hear from the Lord. Grab a journal while you're reading the Bible and journal those things where God is speaking to you, the truth of his word. Engage with his word. It's more than just a checkbox on your to-do list. Enter into that time of reading the word. Being able to move past spiritual immaturity with reading of the word to spiritual maturity means to enter into a dialogue with the author. Right? God is the author. He might have not been the writer, but he's the author of the Bible, and we need to engage in dialogue with the Lord. All right, that was the first one. Ears that don't hear. Second warning, mouths that don't speak the word. This is chapter 5, verse 12. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. It means that the things that are coming in is not necessarily coming out. What does your thought life? Now, we have different ways of speaking the word. Some of it is all right up in here, and it's what we're saying to ourselves in our head. It's not necessarily what's coming out through our mouth. So what does your thought life and your speaking life reveal about your spiritual journey? Are your thoughts loaded with negativity and fear? Do you gossip? Are you more concerned with others and what they are doing than on what the Lord is doing in and through you? Do you ever regret something that you said? Do you ever ask, where did that come from? Either about a thought or something that you said. Well, Jesus instructs us with these words in Luke chapter 6, verses 43 to 45. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Are you negative? Are you focused on the what could or what might happen? Do you profess the faith that you have, trusting in the Lord? When is the last time you shared your faith with somebody else? 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Always be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks. And it's not necessarily a defense like you're arguing with somebody. It's a defense where you speak the truth of your experience, right? If we have a defense attorney, it's the person that's going to speak on our behalf and our own experience. And so we just need to know that we have opportunity all the time to share what God is doing in and through our lives. When is the last time that that has come out of your mouth? And not, I'm sick today, I'm challenged today, my finances this. You know, oftentimes we end up talking about all the concerns that we have in our lives and our experiences and our negative experiences and not what God is doing in and through them. And so we need to be prepared to share what God is doing in the storm. Are you prepared in season and out of season? What's the spiritual food you're taking in? Ultimately, what goes in comes out. Amen? If anybody knows anything about your physical body, right, we know that junk in, junk out, right? If I just sit there and I have a constant diet of Big Macs and French fries and pizza and ice cream, junk in, junk out. I'm going to feel like garbage. I'm going to look like garbage eventually because of the physical nature of your body needs good and healthy things, vegetables and fruits and waters and exercise and all those things. And we're very much aware of what we put into our body all the time. But what are you taking in spiritually? It's the same thing. Junk food in, junk food out. If we're spending more time in watching TV and negative news and bad movies that are full of F-bombs and everything else, what do you think is going to come out of your mouth? The same thing. Junk in, junk out. Good in, good out. You know when somebody has been immersed in God's word because what comes out of their mouth, and not in a false way, is God's word. In their prayers, in their experience, when they're telling their testimony, when they're sharing an experience, they understand that God works for the good of all, you know, all for the good of those who love him, right? If you're going through something, then you have that scripture and you can share that with somebody. Good in, good out. Negative influences in, negative out. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. When James, the author of James, speaks about the power of the tongue, he talks about blessing and curses. And then he asks, can salt water and fresh flow from the same source? Does your water flow with bitterness, or is it sweet and clear? What is what's coming out when you speak? And it starts here. It's what we think, and then it comes out. Mouths that don't speak. Third warning sign, stomachs that don't digest the word. This is 5 verses 12, second half through 14. So he says, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So just like an infant, when you become a new believer, a new follower of Christ, we're like newborns, right? It's called to be born again, right? Because we have a spiritual birth. We become like babies in the faith. We're newborn and we need spiritual milk, all right? That is not a negative thing. To say that you still need spiritual milk, if you are a new believer, then spiritual milk is what you need. You need the foundations. You need the basics. It's not a negative thing. It's a necessity. So when he refers here in the book of Hebrews, what does that include, spiritual milk? Well, it goes on to say in Hebrews 6, 1-3, I'll read this for you. Therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, and of instruction about washings, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. Praise the Lord. So these are the things, basics of salvation. The first thing that he talks about is just turning away from sin. Okay? So spiritual milk is the ability to turn away from sin. If you find yourself constantly going back to the same behavior that God is trying to deliver you from, that's spiritual milk. So if we're, it doesn't mean that we're ever perfect, okay? Does everybody continue to sin? Yes, okay, I'm just going to say yes, everybody continues to sin, we make mistakes, we fall short, all sin and fall short of the glory of God, but it's that holding on to the thing that God has delivered you from. How about the basics of the church? He talked about that in the first few verses. Baptism, how important it is to baptism and the laying on of hands, not only for healing, but for the anointing, the leadership within the church. And then it talks about basics of the afterlife, eternal judgment. And those are what he's talking about, is the spiritual milk, those basics. And he's saying that this church right here is not even moved beyond those things, even though they should be teaching people. Now, let me tell you, this is what it comes back to, small groups, and how important it is that we have people that are willing to lead small groups. Because once you realize that you are beyond spiritual milk, your job, your next step is to teach, is to pour into somebody else. We cannot just become a stagnant stream holding it all in, saying, yay, I'm saved. Right? It has to pour out. So once we move beyond spiritual milk, we become teachers, is what the writer has said. You should be teachers by now. So we need teachers, those who are going to raise up and teach others in the things of the Lord. Just like a newborn, there's a time in our development that we move on to spiritual meat, right? If your baby is 6 months, a year, 2 years, 3 years, still drinking out of a bottle and not eating meat, we go, oh my goodness, right? There's something wrong here. And so we know it, we can see it in the natural, but in the spiritual, do we ever look at people and go, Sister Jane has been saved for 20 years, but oh my goodness, she still struggles in these certain areas. And then we don't want to then point at Sister Jane and say, but we want to say, Sister Jane, can I walk alongside of you? Can I help you? Let's do this meet together. Let's talk about the Bible together. Let's help one another moving from spiritual milk to spiritual meat. Can we agree to do that? Right? As a church, we need to pour into one another. So it's like, just in the beginning, like, it's okay to have spiritual milk as a new believer, right? You wouldn't be cutting a steak and giving it to a baby, all right? So we have expectations with new believers that are just not appropriate, right? And especially we have expectations on people that are outside of the church, that they should have behaviors that look like a mature Christian. That's just not the case. So when people come into the church and they accept Christ and they begin to follow Christ, we don't want to have the expectation that they're going to be cutting off pieces of steak and be able to handle that stuff. There's a process, and we want to bring people through the process. So spiritual meat, what does that mean? Basically, it's this. In 5:13, he tells teaching about righteousness. It's righteousness. So if the spiritual milk is turning away from sin and turning away from the things that you know God does not want for you and turning towards becoming holy, becoming more like Christ, that's spiritual meat. So it says this, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. So righteousness, it's basically just striving to be holy, turning away from sin, turning toward holiness, right living before God. So we need to be reading God's word, which gives us his standard, right? If we understand this, if we understand this word, then we understand what his standard is for our living and to become righteous by following after what God has called us to be. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Say fruit. Fruit. Now, even in Hebrews, it talks about thorns and thistles and things. And so, and figs, right? Fig tree has figs and thorn bushes have thorns. All right, we want our fruit to be based on our diet, right? If we're a tree and we're growing and we're setting down roots and we want to display fruit, we want to make sure that it's fruit based on God's word and filling us through of the things that God has for us. It's what we see. That fruit is what we see when our development is on track, a fullness, a ripe fruit. It comes from making a decision. Which way do we want to go? We either follow after him who calls us or after the world. We either grow in our faith or we settle for average. And I'm going to tell you this right now, and I'm sure you've heard me say this before, there's no such thing as standing still. We have a choice to take. We either say, you know what, I'm okay with milk, I'm comfy in my milk, and somebody will always make it for me and give me my bottle, and I'm okay. Or we say, you know what, I'm tired of milk. I'm feeling weak and unsustained. I need more. I want the meat of what God has for me. And so we say, you have to make a decision at some point, though, because it's either milk or it's meat, right? We can't just say, oh, you know, I want more, God, but I'm not willing to step beyond milk. No, we want more, and we want to be able to move into a healthier diet with what God has for us, okay? There's a famous poem. It's called The Road Not Taken. And I'm going to share, I think I've read it to you before, but I love this poem because it displays exactly what we're talking about. And I'll go back to share it. So I'm going to read this, and maybe you've heard it before. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other as just as far, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that passing there, had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. What we choose to do is going to make all the difference. There is a point in your life where you are going to make a decision. Now, sometimes it's that day where we decide to follow Christ. That is a day where you go, you know what? That's the day that my life has changed. There has been a fork in the road, right? That the enemy had this way for me, and because I encountered Christ here, that something happened, a catalyst event that happened in my life, and I changed where I'm going. That friend in high school that you had that's never changed, that person made a choice. You can see the fruit of the choice. The question is, can they see the fruit of your choice? When you go back to that high school reunion, when you bump into somebody that you haven't seen in 10 years, do they see in you the fruit of a life that has made a difference, a fruit of a life where you have made a choice to follow Christ, and it's made all the difference? It's not too late to change, though. Right? It's not too late to change. You might have had a very long road, and it's all been going one direction, and maybe you feel like it's going downhill, but the truth of the matter is that you can make a change today that changes everything for your life. And sometimes I'm a Christian and I've been a Christ follower for a long time and you started on your journey, but I'll tell you what, without any changing, it's not going to look much different from the one that you left. Because there has to be a choice that you make at some point to go from spiritual milk to spiritual maturity, from eating the meat that God has for you, to develop as a disciple of Christ, to strengthen your faith, to move forward. And that's going to make all the difference. You can have two ways in the road, but you want to do the one. You know what the scripture says about this? Let me share you. Matthew 7, 13 to 14. Enter by the wide gate. What does it say? Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow, and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. In the same way, where the poet talks about diverting in the wood, there is a way that looks so easy to everybody, and everybody's going in the same direction, and then you have this choice that you make, where the road diverges in the wood, and you have this fork, and you have a choice to make. And in the same way, in this day and in this time, you have a choice to make to go down the road less traveled or the wide way that leads to destruction. Because unless we move from spiritual milk to meat, we will look not much different than the world. And we are called to stand out. Scripture tells us to be a city on a hill, a light that can't be extinguished. But we can only do that if we agree to take the steps, and it's not always easy, the steps to lead towards being full disciples of Christ, fully committed followers of Christ, doing everything that we can, all in, Right? All in. All in. Say all in. We're called to be all in. Not just kind of doing this. Do the hokey pokey with our faith. Right? We're going in. We're coming out. We're going in. We're coming out. And in so doing, I have to tell you, it's exhausting. Has anybody ever been there where you're like, your faith is going in, it's going out. It's going in, it's going out. And in so doing, you become this roller coaster instead of just kind of going with the Lord, right? Because even in the ups and downs, there's a consistency of knowing that the Lord is with you. And it's in the development of going in. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore. It's in the development of going all in with God that strengthens you, that it makes you, it just puts down those roots that you desperately need in the times of the storms when the winds are coming and the things come up against you. We heard a great message this weekend at the youth convention about the eagles and how they ride the storm, right? All the other birds are hiding in the nest and the eagle's up there going, right? I've seen them on the mountaintops when they're riding those currents. What the enemy seeks to use to destroy you, God's going to use to raise you up. But we have to be ready. You have to be ready. You have to be willing to just dive in and say, I want steak or chicken. I know not everybody eats red meat. Right? But that we don't want to just be Enfamil people. Your choice is to be discipled and to disciple. And that choice that you make to disciple and to disciple another one is going to make all the difference. But the question is, are you ready? Are you ready to make that choice? Are you ready to say, I'm not satisfied with spiritual milk? I'm not satisfied. I want more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, God, so thankful for your word. I thank you, God, that you call us to even greater things. And that, God, that you provided everything we need in order to fulfill the call that you have upon our lives, to grow as disciples of Christ in strength. And God, that we don't need to be weak Christians. We don't need to be in and out Christians. We, God, through your power of your Holy Spirit, God, that we can be secure and strong and fed, God, with the meat of your word and with that relationship that we develop with you through prayer and time alone with you. God, I pray, Lord, that we would have ears to hear. And that our busyness would not be a distraction, oh God, that we would be able to focus on your word, to hear what it has to say for us each and every day. I pray, God, that our times of our fellowship with you through the word would be a time where our ears would be open to hear and to receive what you have, that nothing else would distract us in the moment that we give to you in that time of communion through your word. God, I pray, Lord, that we would have mouths to speak the truth of your word, God, and that everything that's coming in would be just flowing out of us, God, that the experiences that we've had, those things that you have brought us through, God, would be a living testimony constantly on the edges of our lips, willing to share, God, and that the truth of your scripture would be just evident in everything that comes out of us, oh God. I pray against that negativity that would come up, God, that the lies that the enemy would have would begin to fill our mouths, but God, we'd speak not what the enemy has, but what you have and the truth of your word, the promises that you have in your word. God, we speak to the character of who you are, God, in all situations, that you are faithful, that you are merciful, God, that you are provider, God, that you are our healer, oh God, that those things would be those things that would come out of our mouths each and every day, oh God. And I pray, God, that we would have the taste and the desire and the appetite for more of you, God. We will not be satisfied with just enough, but that, God, you are the God of more than enough, and we want everything, God. We are all in. In Jesus' mighty name. And if you are in agreement with me, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Be blessed, church.